The next billion seconds are the most important in human history as technology transforms the way we live and work. The smartphone, barely a decade old, has given billions access to information and capacities they've never had before. It's changing what we can do, and it's changing the shape of the future. So what does that future look like? Hi, I'm Mark Pesce, the host of The Next Billion Seconds, a new show on Podcast One. Join me as I speak to some of the brightest minds shaping that world, the people who are spending their lives forming that future. We'll hear about their work in helping shape those next billion seconds. Listen at podcastone.com.au or on the Podcast One app.
Get Ruined Dits for Breakfast, weekdays from 6, or subscribe to Ruined Dits for Breakfast Catch-Up at triplem.com.au.
Oh, hello. How are you, Roo? Yes, on Triple M. How are you going?
Yeah, bloody fantastic, Dits. It's Thursday morning. The sun's out. It's going to start being a bit summery.
Now, can I just appeal to someone this morning? Whoever was the last to leave the Adelaide Oval last night, turn the lights off. Look, Roo, I've left the bloody light towers on.
Oh, come on. Hey, what a blackout if we keep sucking power
if that
like
was
that.
The Poms, you know, the Poms are here playing. If that was you, the Pommy cricket team, do you understand how expensive our power is here?
Yeah, exactly right.
Come
Flick
on.
The switch.
Why would the lights be on this time of the day?
Very good question, Dits. I do not know, unless they're doing a little bit of early morning watering or something like that.
You can do that in the dark.
You can do that in the dark, you blokes. Come on.
I often water things on the way in the dark.
Yeah.
Hey, this morning, Roo, we're going to talk to Mark Boris, our financial man, because there's a bit going on with housing loans and the like.
Yeah, there is at the moment. And share markets at all-time highs around the world. And our stock market closed over 6,000 for... You know, first time for about 9, 10 years.
Well, so. Since the GFC,
yeah.
Hey, our snoring competition has gone berserk. This is where the search is on for Adelaide's worst snorer.
Yeah. Could you come first, second and third?
At the moment I'm leading. But so I could trifecta this event, couldn't I? But anyway, we've got some great entries. Yesterday we had a real laugh with this. Also, we announced our special pub.
Yes, we do. We did. We're going out to the Jepps Cross, the Cooper's Ale House out there. Magic renovation out there, but we're going to overtake it. For a day at the end of November, and we're asking all our listeners to help tell us what they want out there for the day. So we'll take some calls later on that. Gleeso's going to drop in and say g'day with another suburban song.
Yeah, they've been going off.
They have.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, Ruined Dits here on Triple M. What a cracker of a day coming up. 30 degrees in Adelaide. Beautiful.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Ruined Dits on Triple M. What is making news around the place, Roo? Now, we seem to talk about this every year, but the Ashes test is on its way, and the prices of food and grog down at the Oval. Now, they're good friends of ours. We love the Oval. I love the Audi Club. But why do we pay so much? Now, is it totally, and you own pubs, obviously, is it totally about the wages, do you think?
Oh, it's
because
about lots of
people are working
things,
over weekends
honest.
Or?
It's about lots of things. Prices keep going up from the government each year too, and from where you're buying them. Indexed higher than what other things are. They've been putting prices up for on-premise booze more than they have for off-premise, like the take-home stuff.
Yeah.
The ratio's different, so that's why it's cheaper to buy.
So what are they saying? $9.40 for a pint of beer, is that right?
It's gone up 10 cents from last year. So 2017 Ashes prices, Hard Super Dry, $9.40. Last year was $9.20.
And that's a pint?
20 cents, doesn't say.
West, I think they are. They're large
West
cups.
End Draft's only gone up 10 cents from $8.90 to $9. Water's up 20 cents. Hot chips up 10 cents. Pies up 20 cents. And soft drink up 20 cents. So.
Peru, water is $5 a bottle?
Yep.
Sounds a bit much.
Yep.
What do I pay for a pint in your hotel of a West End Drive?
You always have a special on a month, say $6.50, but you'd pay $8.50.
$8.50, and at the Oval we're paying $9.40.
Yeah, something like that.
Mm. So it is a premium.
It's not cheap, but those lights you're talking about that have been left on, from 1 year to the next, their power bill went up $800,000.
Yeah.
So where do they get that from if they don't put their prices up?
That's an interesting question, Rhea. I don't think that me buying a pie and a beer should pay for that. That's another argument, isn't it? They need to negotiate.
Oh, well, they've got to break even.
Yeah.
You can't run at a loss.
Yeah.
Otherwise the Oval shuts.
Yeah, I always find that an interesting argument, quite seriously.
So what about if electricity goes up at a pub? Are they meant to put the prices up to cover it, or they just wear it? Or is it, that's the decision that businesses are making right now in every sector across the state.
Mm-hmm.
Do they wear the cost of the electricity going up to keep the keep it affordable for customers to come in?
Mm-hmm.
Or do they put the price up and run the risk of it being unaffordable, like what we're talking about with these prices?
Mm.
That's the decision people are making, whether you've got a corner store, deli, a shoe shop, a pub, or a bloody giant factory that makes anything.
Yeah, I guess
it's a big decision to make.
Yeah. The other one is wages, of course. Because everyone down there will be working Saturday, Sunday, I'll bet they're on a massive hourly rate as well.
Oh, even the normal rates are pretty solid. So, and you know what? The people saying it say, yeah, but we work hard and we should get it, and they should, and that's right. But it's just got to stack up for everyone. So it's a balance. But the Adelaide Oval, you can say that the price is there. But when you go anywhere on those one-off shows, that you always pay more, don't you? Whether you're at the Royal Adelaide Show or whatever other thing I can think of, you pay a premium, don't you?
All right, now. So
and it's a brilliant oval. We say it's the best in the world.
Yeah. Did you say that it's gone up $800,000 this year, the power bill?
Last year, I think it was.
All right.
So now I am interested. Exactly those numbers, but it's about that.
All right. So when we started the show this morning, I was being a smart aleck. Said, they've left the lights on. Now I really want to know why they've left the lights on.
No,
I do.
True. Well,
because if it's gone up $800, don't leave the bloody lights
on. Well, I'm saying if that was a private business, someone would get their bum kicked.
Of course they would.
Yeah, but that we've sat here every morning for the whole year, and that's the first time the lights have been on, isn't it? It's a mistake.
Well, is it?
Well, sure. Well,
if we can ring the sacker or the
it's
Adelaide
either
Oval.
A mistake or they're using it. But it doesn't happen every week, does it?
Mm.
I know that was stating the obvious, but I'm saying we've been here every day of the year and they don't have them left on. They're not being sloppy.
Right.
That's not why the power bill's gone
up. Moving on. The other thing's making news. Hey, Midnight Oil's tour. Now, you know, people were lucky enough to see Midnight Oil here in Adelaide, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, it was. The 26th of October, I think it was, and they said it was fantastic.
Yeah, well, their tour, I think, has just been cut short as a result of an accident last night on stage. Their lead guitarist, Rob, has fallen over. He's tripped and fallen over. An ambulance took him to hospital.
Shivers.
That could be the end of the tour.
Oh, I'll find another guitarist, please.
Well, yeah. Who's on the bench?
Yeah.
But they're saying this morning, though, the tour is probably over.
Oh, no. Mm. Surely you can get another guitarist, can't you?
Well, I would have thought so.
Someone would love the opportunity to play with the Oils.
Yeah. And the other thing making news, I found this interesting.
Do you know why he fell off?
What?
I think Pete Garrett was doing one of his dances and lost control and rocked him off. He was a bit out of whack.
That could happen, yeah. they've announced in LA, Roo, by 2020, there are going to be Uber flights. And these are
Uber flights,
and they're saying you'll pay the same, roughly, as what you're paying right now for an Uber car. And these Uber flights, they're building planes right
the
now.
The same as a taxi?
Same prices.
How does that work?
I don't know. It's in LA, and they're going to be chargeable planes, so rechargeable, so electric sort of motors, I think.
Right.
From what I've read, electric engines.
Charged up enough when you get in.
Mm.
Otherwise, you'll be in a bit of trouble.
Yeah.
I said in the Melbourne, you can get Uber Chopper.
Well, they're doing that in, I didn't know that was in Melbourne, but it's in Poland at the moment. Yeah. They're doing a trial, Uber. So, yeah, that's the future of Uber.
Uber everything.
Mm.
Uber everything you want. Booze, food, pizzas, everything.
6:15, ruined it for breakfast. We've got a call coming in early this morning. Hello, Phil.
How you going, guys?
Yeah, good.
Hey, about the Adelaide Oval Lights, guys.
Yep.
They haven't been on all night. I've been down at the Children's Hospital most of the night.
Right.
With my daughter being in there and that. But, they only just came on probably about 6:15, and they're now off.
So actually, they've just gone off. You're right. They were listening.
I would assume that they were doing a test or something on the electric test on the light towers.
Okay.
Everything all right with you, Phil, being in there all night?
Same shit, different week, really. Good,
okay.
Unfortunately.
Not good at being in there. All the best.
Well, good luck, Phil, and thanks for calling in. There you go. Phil from One Tree Hill. He could be right. If they've only just been on for a few minutes, maybe it is some sort of test. But I think they've been listening to Triple M, Roo, because I've just flicked them off.
Yep.
The power of this radio station.
Ruin Dits are looking for South Australia's worst snorer.
I call it best snorer, really.
Yeah, it depends what way you look at it, really, doesn't it?
Because we're feeling sorry for the women out there that just have to put up with this every night. But I want to just refresh your memory, Roo. Yesterday, we actually had a bloke send this in, Jimmy.
Yeah.
And it's his brother, Evan, who not only does he snore, but he moans.
Oh, yeah. Really? Yeah. There you go.
What do you reckon is going on in his brain at the moment?
I think he's got a few things going on. So we've got a couple of new ones, Dits. We've got Renee sent in Michael's here. This is a bit of a stock standard one.
Yeah. Building. That's better.
That's better. Get into it, Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Right, that's Michael. You can't sleep next to that.
Nah, that's Michael. So we feel sorry for you, Renee.
Mm.
Now we've got Oksana.
Yes.
Who has sent her husband, Peter, in.
Mm. Oh, he's a pig. That was both nostrils, that one. It got both going there. Now, what defines a good snorer? What do you need to be a good snorer? I reckon I like length.
Yeah,
you
length.
You like good length, good set of lungs.
I like the ones, though, that start off a bit, you know, timid.
And then when they get that last bit of their lungs full, they're prepared to shatter their nostrils because they just vibrate
did
so
you ever
much.
Did you ever see Shemp in the Three Stooges snore?
No.
Oh, that's we need to get a
Can
bit of
Can we get
that.
A bit of cut yeah, that a bit of need, that?
That's real snoring.
Really?
Yeah, oh, yeah. There's all sorts of sounds and noises coming out.
Now, we've got a great prize for SA's Best or Worst Snorer here.
Yeah,
we've got
a
night down at the Grand Hotel at Glenelg, which is a brilliant spot down on the beach.
Yep.
And we've also got a couple of hours pampering in Dota's Bar at Glenelg as well. So for the ladies out there who suffer with bloke snoring all the time, the winner will head down there and basically have a night off from the snorer.
Try and get a good night's sleep.
And have a bit of a rest. So all good. Send your snoring records into snoring@triplem.com.au and just get your phone out and record it. As simple as that.
Yeah, only take you 30 seconds.
That's right.
Hey, in a moment, Roo, you know we announced yesterday we're taking over. Is this? Here you go. There you go. Shemp from... there you go. That was Shemp from Three Stooges.
I thought it was Corey Brown from yesterday. Then.
Ruined Hits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Ruined Hits at 6:56.
In the Angels later, Dits, we're going to talk about ghosties doing a runner. And also...
What do you mean?
Might well come up in the Un-Australian segment. You know how... You know, when you've had too much to drink, you just instead of saying see you, you just bolt out the back door and don't say see it anyway.
Called a ghosty.
That's a ghosty.
I always called it. I thought it was the toilet trick or the
runner. You know, you do runner. A runner ghosty. Yeah. One minute there, the next minute you're gone.
No, but sometimes you have to. Sometimes it's justifiable because it can take forever to say goodbye. If you're in a big crowded pub like Melbourne Cup Day at your pub, I did a ghosty because by the time you get around to saying goodbye to everyone, it takes forever.
Yeah, but then everyone goes. Is Dits okay? Where is he?
Yeah.
Do we need to go looking for him? Sometimes you can waste time looking for you.
No, as if you'd go looking for him. Don't pretend. You go, thank God he's gone.
Bloody bad time. You've been racking up drinks on my camera.
Did you notice?
Did I notice? I got a phone call from the manager yesterday. What are all these Sav Blancs doing on your account?
Oh, come on. No, I reckon sometimes
and
the ghosties
three
are
three Alma Burgers, you pig.
Yeah, the third one was a bit over the top. I reckon sometimes it's okay.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm prone to it.
You need to sometimes.
Yeah, you just got to get out.
Yeah.
And how good do you feel about it the next day?
Yep. Nah. Very good.
We'll talk about it later on anyway. Yeah.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Anything un-Australian from now on, we'll name and shame, all right?
This is a blatant violation of the Constitution. Do you come from a land
down under? Christina Matthews demanded that we change the vernacular in cricket. She doesn't want us to say batsman, fieldsman, night watchman, third man, and it goes on and on and on.
Oh, the man one.
It's Mabo, it's justice.
Our Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull has approved the change to Advance Australia Fair. It used to be for we are young and free, but it will now be in peace and harmony.
Vegan sausages at Bunnings, un-Australian.
Cadbury and other chocolate manufacturers have banned the use of the word Easter on the packaging of their products in order to stop offending other religions.
This is an outrage.
Bullshit.
This is you. Kindergartens, Roo, banning Bar Bar Black Sheep.
I'd never even thought of it being as racist
overtones.
Yeah.
Political correctness has finally, now it's reached boiling point, and I've had enough.
And now to this week's reason why the world's gone mad.
Righto, Roo. Now, I've been watching the Spring Carnival. Been watching the Spring Carnival, and I love it, right? Every day of it. And this will happen again today, and I'll throw my thongs at the TV, all right, when this happens. But you know when they're going through all the fashion and they're talking about the clothes and who's wearing what? And I hear the fashionista or the specialist on there on Channel 7 say, well, he's wearing his Julius Marlowe shoes and he's wearing the navy pant and the mauve jacket.
Mm.
The word is pants. I don't wear a pant, okay? And I don't think you wear
a pant.
A pant.
Is that what they've been saying?
He wears the blue pant with that. Mate, they're pants. Now, and when I go into
you've
a men's...
You've been watching the Channel 7 coverage.
When I go
bit.
In...
I
when
watch Sky One.
When I go into a menswear store... I do not want a bloke saying to me, I'll show you the new pant.
Why don't you?
No, they're pants with an S on the end. P-A-N-T-S.
When's this changed?
Bloody, I don't know. But it's, all of a sudden, everyone's saying a pant. Now, listen, the other thing is, they're not slacks either. If I go into a menswear shop and the bloke says, I've got some nice slacks to show you.
What are they?
They're bloody pants.
Oh, slacks have been around
no,
forever.
Not for me, they haven't.
Oh, bulldust.
I'll accept trousers, only just.
Whack some slacks on.
No.
Slacks on,
no.
Dick.
No, they are pants.
I'll tell you.
Where I grew up, they're bloody pants.
Yeah, well, where I grew up, you wear socks with long pants too, Mr. Dittmar.
Well,
what the hell are you trying to pull off today?
Well, I got dressed in a hurry.
No, you did not. You deliberately had no socks on today.
Well, these are my...
You're the one that potted the people at the wedding the other week for having no socks on with their long pants.
That's different.
Well,
when you're wearing a suit.
Who wears no socks with long pants?
Lots of people. These are called loafers. These shoes are loafers and you don't wear socks with them.
Your
don't have
feet
to.
Stink.
Yeah, all right. Granted,
think of other people.
Granted.
That is un-Australian,
no,
having smelly feet.
Go back a couple of weeks. When we were at a wedding and people got suits on and a tie,
yeah.
you wear socks with those shoes.
Yeah, but you've got your pant on. And
my pant. You're a dickhead. You are an idiot. Seriously.
You've got long pants on.
Yes, thank you. Pants.
And no socks.
Yeah, I know, but it's summer.
Stop trying to be cool. You're in your 50s. You idiot.
These are summery trousers. It's trousers. Bloody
summery hell. Bloody trousers. They're called pants.
I know they are. They're pants.
Yeah, it's going to be 30 degrees today and you've got long pants on.
No, they're summery ones though. They're thin material.
What do you mean summery long pants?
I are. Well, I can't wear shorts. I've got to go to a couple of business meetings. What?
What business meetings have you got on Oaks Day?
A job interview.
Who with? Tell us. Hey.
Anyway, I've had my say.
Yeah, well,
please, Mr. Fashionista,
you've contradicted bloke, yourself
with
here.
Your coiffed hair and your bloody, you know, little American accent. If you say pants again, I'm throwing my thongs at the TV today. They are pants with an S on the end.
Get off. No, I can't say that. All good. All right, Dits. Fair enough.
104.7 Triple M.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
Pressure point! Ruined it. $1,000 pressure test.
Righto, let's see if we can give away $1,000. Who have you got there, Ruth?
We have got Todd from Vale Park. G'day, Todd.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Oh, very good, mate. What are you up to today?
Just heading down to Eden Hills to build a house.
Good on you,
nice.
Mate. Well done.
Yeah, who do you work for, Todd?
Self-employed, mate. Family business.
Oh, well done.
Righto.
So how many houses you sort of build a year? Is it big business?
Yeah, sort of. 12 to 15 jobs a year.
Oh, that's good.
Car. Nice. Well done.
What, renos or all new stuff?
Mainly renos, but new stuff as well.
So when you say family business, are you in it with your brothers or your dad? Or how does that work?
So it's me, my brother, my dad and my uncle.
What's the best fight you've had?
Yeah, we've had a few, me and my brother.
How often does it happen when you work with your dad that you have a blow? That's the big question, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll
The last few years have been all right. We had a few early, but all good now.
So now he knows you're the boss. He's
that's it.
He sorted it out now. That's right. Mm. All right, Roo, give Todd his topic.
Okay. We're talking about Jakey Lehman potentially playing for Australia. Give us 10 South Australians that have played Test cricket.
Buff Lehman, Greg Blewett. Oh, God.
Tim May.
Oh, who's recent?
Gillespie.
Dizzy
Gillespie.
Good. Bradman.
Bradman. Oh, I'm going here. Pressure's got to me.
Rick Darling.
One, two, three, four, five, six. Correct. Who else could he have had, Dits? You got a few in your mind or not?
No, I've gone blank now as well. Peter McIntyre. He was a Victorian that came here.
Oh, Peter McIntyre. That's right. Leggy. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm stumped too. Sorry about that one, Todd. That might have been
Ferguson.
A bit hard. Oh, Ferg.
That's all right, boys.
That's all right.
Rodney Hogg.
You make enough money building houses. Anyway.
Yeah. Hey, good on you, Todd. And good luck to the family business as well.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to send you off to see the Virgin Australia International Rules Series this Sunday. So Australia's best footballers in action against the Irish.
Yeah, very good team. Interesting topic coming up next. The new Perth Stadium that is open for business this year. Mm. They signed a deal with Optus, a reportedly $50 million deal over 10 years, so $5 million a year for naming rights.
Mm-hmm.
Adelaide Oval have decided to keep it as Adelaide Oval, haven't taken a cent. What would you do with $50 million if you decided to go down that path? We'll talk about that next.
Good question.
Hi, I'm Gary Megan, and I do a little show on Podcast One called A Plate to Call Home, and it's about fascinating people all centered around food. This is a show for foodies, but it's more than that. It's a show about the people and the stories behind food. I think you know that I'm obsessed by food. Everything in my life revolves around it, and I love nothing better than to spend a little time talking about people that are equally as passionate, sharing their stories and getting to know what makes them tick. It's called A Plate to Call Home, and it's available on the Podcast One app or on podcastone.com.au.
I'm rocking the suburbs.
Triple M Suburban Songs.
Friday night, I'm highly off my mind.
With Dave Gleeson from the Screaming Jets.
Good on you, Gleeso. Welcome back on this Thursday morning.
No worries, boys. Thanks for having me.
Get the chocolates last night?
Yeah, we got the chocolates last night. We're starting the season well.
Where are we heading to this week?
West Lakes. Now, the thing was, I was lucky enough when I first moved down here, I got to go and see a couple of games at West Lakes before they moved it into the big city, but obviously that was a huge talking point.
Oh, yeah.
Today we're going to be talking about Port versus Sturt in the 76th Grand Final.
What happened, Itz?
Why?
Well, that's
Rick Davies went berserk.
Oh,
We were red hot favourites.
The Jumbo Prince.
Played the game of his life.
Jeepers, did you see the Jumbo Prince recently on the news? He's no Jumbo anymore.
He's mini Jumbo.
He's mini.
Junior Burger.
Rick Davies beat Port Adelaide that day.
How many marks did he take that game?
Oh, 24.
Was it really?
Something like that.
It was huge. Real.
Yeah.
You still haven't got over it, did
you? What are you
not
saying about this
remembers. Josh said you got to get a mention of Kev Foley in as he helped move the footy to the city.
Yeah, he did.
The cold silver bench seats.
Oh, yeah, you got piles from them.
Piles and piles. The barbecue around Footy Park, which was a bit of an institution.
All the games, yeah.
And having beers at Cheekside Tavern.
Pulling the photos down of the opposition team.
A rowdy old time had by all there.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Okay.
Now, what are we singing West Lakes to the tune of?
We've done it to the tune of American Pie. Because it's the day that wears. Anyway, I'll let you hear it.
Oh, okay.
A long, long time ago,
76, I remember how that footy park, it made me smile. When the Double Blues had the chance to take on Port in the big dance, and it made Sturt happy for a while. How those bench seats made me shiver every single chilling winter, until news got around footy was moving into town. And I can't remember if I cried,
swallowed my Camry Crow's pride. Kev Foley touched me deep inside the day Footy Park died. So bye-bye, Footy Park, goodbye. Drove my Holden back to Golden Grove with tears in my eyes. In 2014, Adelaide Oval stood high. I knew this would be the day it'd die. This would be the day that it died.
So
bye-bye, Footy Park, goodbye. Drove my Holden back to Golden Grove with tears in my eyes. In 2014, Adelaide Oval stood high. I knew this would be the day it'd die. This'll be the day that it dies. We singing bye-bye, Footy Park, goodbye. Drove my Holden back to Golden Grove with tears in my eye. In 2014, when Adelaide Oval stood high, I knew this would be the day it'd die.
All right.
Beautiful.
Oh,
beautiful.
That is gorgeous.
Beautiful.
A real tearjerker.
It was a real tearjerker.
A jerker, one of the two.
Both. What an important part in our history.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I love the Oval, but I wasn't here in the heyday of West Lakes.
Well, it wasn't a cracking Oval in its heyday. Got a bit tired towards the end, didn't
yep.
it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Sort of like Waverley did in Melbourne, but yeah. served its purpose for sure.
Well, Gleeso, we'll do it again next Thursday.
Good to get worries. Kev Foley in there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah. Touch me deep inside. Kev, I haven't seen him for a while. I haven't been out to any of the big glittering events lately, so that's where you see Kev.
Yeah, he's all good. We'll catch you next week. Gleeso.
See you, boys.
Triple M. The new Perth Stadium is complete and going to be open for business this year for the football. And I've decided, because it is a new stadium, it hasn't got any history, brand new stadium, purpose built. They've decided to sell the naming rights. Mm. Unlike Adelaide Oval, I'm not sure who gets to make that decision in Adelaide, that they wanted to keep it Adelaide Oval and not sell it. But over in Perth, the new stadium have reportedly done a deal over 10 years for $50 million. So $5 million wow. a year. It's a record in Australian sporting stadiums. Mm. $5 million to Optus. Optus are trying to grow their network in WA, apparently. And they're going to give $5 million a year. So $50 million large. No expenses with that.
Big coverage they get, though, don't they? Like things, you know, Etihad Stadium and the like. Huge. Those that we call. I mean, yeah, absolutely. It does get a lot of coverage.
Well, imagine, I mean, they're all talking about over there being absolutely unbelievable, like better than Adelaide Oval and wah, 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 all that sort of stuff. So yeah. if it's a successful for WA as Adelaide Oval is for Adelaide, they're going to get a huge amount of exposure. And if it's called Optus Stadium or whatever they're going to be called, they're going to get a good run for their money.
My view on the Adelaide Oval is, look, it's iconic. I'd hate to see it sell its name, but also it's a great advert for Adelaide, as you said, whether it's the world over or just around Australia. Every time you mention it, you're saying the word Adelaide.
Mm.
So that's an advert in itself, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
And when we go back to even before it was done up, people in cricket would say all over the world that Adelaide was the most picturesque ground. So it's getting advertising for us in a sense, I reckon.
As a state.
As a state and as a city.
But we're missing out on, say, $5 million a year for that.
Surely that would go to the Stadium Management Authority. They run and... I'm not saying they own the Oval, but they run it. They've got the management rights to the Oval. It would be theirs to sell, wouldn't it?
Well, I don't know whose decision it is, but put it this way. If they did get it, then, you know, Port Adelaide, Crows, cricket, all the people that use it would have to pay a lot less fees to be there, I would think. So basically, at the end of the day, Dits, it's probably $50 million out of the pool that we're not taking that could be there. I want to throw the lines open. What would you do? What could you do with $50 million?
No, but is it time in this day and age? Is it actually time to say, well, we need to keep up with everyone else? Let's sell the name.
Yeah, well, you'd only sell if you use the money.
Right now, yeah, he's tearing his hair.
Yeah,
out,
but $50 million. But the same bloke, KG, the decision you've got to make, like we talked about before with Power, do you put the prices up? Do you sell that, and then do you stick that in grassroots cricket to make cricket better, or do you, or facilities? Mm. If the government's got the right to do it, do you build the new tennis stadium next door?
Right.
There's a lot of things you can do with $50 million around Adelaide over the next 10 years.
Now, here's an idea, just thinking outside the square here. Now, you know, and I'm serious about this, the fact that we are taking over the Cooper's Ale House at Jepps Cross for a day and we're calling it what we want. Can you, I just want to know what's in the contract here, if you're the Port Adelaide Football Club or the Adelaide Crows, and it's called Adelaide Oval, can you, in your home games, say, today it's Port Adelaide versus the Crows and it's our home game.
Change the name?
Yeah.
Nah. No. It's a win.
Hang on. Why, no.
It's like you call a stadium a stadium. You can't change it from week to week. Well, you know that. Come on. There's no place that does that.
No, I'm not saying week to week. I'm saying, what if Port Adelaide sold all of its home games to, you know, last year their sponsor was Renault, and we're playing you at Renault Oval or Renault Stadium.
Yeah, I don't... Well, look...
What are the legalities of that?
Might be able to happen, but probably not. I don't think it's happened before.
It's never happened before, but why can't it?
Well, try putting up every week.
No, but just in name alone, what if the club, in everything it spoke about and talked about, said, we're looking forward to playing at Renault Oval this weekend?
Yeah, but they wouldn't... Yeah, the fact... They wouldn't be able to do that unless they... changed the rules significantly from what it was. But let's take some calls on what
they discount it. I think all of those sorts of things can happen.
Yeah, they might be able to happen in the future. What would you do with $50 million? Where would the state use it if you could get $50 million in, like Perth have at the moment? What would you use it for? 133353, give us a buzz and tell us how you'd spend the money, or would you keep it as just Adelaide Oval?
Ruin Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
7:16 it is. The Perth Stadium, the brand new one, has just sold its naming rights for $50 million over 10 years. Should we follow suit?
Yeah, should we follow suit? Let's go to Blakeview. G'day, Doug.
Yeah, g'day, guys. I think what the Adelaide Oval's already done is a really good idea, like Ruin Dits broadcasting from the Telstra Plaza a couple of months ago, and you got the Audi Stadium Club there, and just naming parts of the Oval rather than the whole Oval, so you still know it as the Adelaide Oval, but you get a little bit of revenue coming in as well. So yeah,
Doug, that's a great point. I hadn't even thought of that. They have named some other things around there.
They have. They've done that well. But $50 million's a lot to knock back, Doug. You'd be able to do some good things around Adelaide Oval with $50 million.
But so therefore, break it down on a yearly basis. So Audi and Telstra, what would they? Maybe they're getting nearly a million a year.
You still do all that as well.
Yeah.
On top of it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't get rid of Adelaide Oval, but what I would call it would be something like Telstra Adelaide Oval or Optus Adelaide Oval or something like that. So you still get get the promotions of it. What do you think, John?
G'day, guys. I'm with you, Roo. It's a world-class stadium, and it's known around the world for that. And it should be stipulated that it remains Adelaide Oval, but the naming rights, Roo Adelaide Oval. Rusciutto's Adelaide Oval.
Yep,
you've got the money to fund it.
Yep, I can do that for you, John. Right. But it's a lot of money. Where would you like to spend the money, John, if you could do it? Soccer have been crying out for a new stadium. The tennis centre could be renovated and attract a lot more people to Adelaide as well.
Well, I read this morning that they've announced another price hike for beverages and food at the Oval. Maybe they could subsidise some of that. $5 for a bottle of water, got to be joking.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the sort of things you probably could do if you took the money. Let's go to Millswood. G'day, Alan.
G'day. How are you guys?
What do you think, Al?
Actually, the guy, last caller just stole my thunder a bit there. I'm all for applying some naming rights, but on the strict proviso, that money does need to go back into either the state or to those that actually want to go to the Oval. And reducing either gate ticket prices or food prices would be, I think, a great start.
Yep. We want to make it affordable, keep it affordable, not make it, probably make it more than keep, because it's bloody expensive to go at the moment for families, so it's a good idea.
Thanks, Alan. I've just been reminded by a friend of mine. Now, Roo, you thought I was stupid when I said, why don't you sell your home games, the naming rights? What they do in the English Premier League is, let's say you go to Arsenal's home ground. It will say, today's home match sponsor is XYZ. Yeah. And they mention it all day throughout the game. The ball is brought to you by that sponsor. Everything. They just
Television broadcast, we're here at...
No, they don't do that, but they have a match day sponsor. Mm. They sell every home game.
Yep.
So that's another way of looking at it. Now, Roo, you've upset someone this morning.
Who?
This fella's called in. KG, good morning.
Good morning. Over my dead body.
Are you out of bed? Are you out of bed, KG?
I'm out of bed. I heard you this morning, Roo, and you're a friend of mine. But over my dead body, do they ever, ever, ever think about changing the name of the Adelaide Oval?
Yeah, but you can keep Adelaide Oval in there, KG. Foster's Adelaide Oval.
No. That cheapens it. That cheapens the ground and the name. It is the Adelaide Oval, Roo. It is renowned worldwide. You see, in 3 weeks' time, people will come from the other side of the world to celebrate not just a cricket match, but an event at the Adelaide Oval, not the Optus Adelaide Oval or the Telstra Adelaide Oval. That cheapens. It's not all about money.
But you can tip that into sport, other facilities.
I don't give a stuff what you do with it. You're not going to raise money, Roo.
Let's have racing at Vic Park. The trot's back there as well. Tip the money into renovating Victoria Park.
You're not going to cheapen the image or the name of the Adelaide Oval by selling rights to Optus or whoever.
You reckon grassroots cricket stuff? You can tip the money into grassroots cricket.
Roo, this is one issue. One issue that I'm dead set against with you, and I'm so hot on this that people even think about changing the name of the Adelaide Oval. It's unique. It's look what it's done for this state.
Yeah.
Why have the Crows and Port Adelaide got the draw they've got? Because Adelaide Oval puts bums on seats. Adelaide Oval.
It's Adelaide Oval, because they renovated it.
Yeah, well, exactly right. And look what they've done.
What if you renovated
the
other stadiums?
Sorry?
What if you renovated other stadiums and those sports could do more for the city as well?
Do what you want to do with other stadiums. I don't give a stuff what you do with them. But I care what we do about the Adelaide Oval. It's got your name there, Roo.
What have you had on your fried eggs this morning?
I will protest, and I'm getting excited now, but I will protest until the cows come home if they ever propose to do that.
Yeah. Oh. How's your punting going over the spring carnival, KG? You up or down?
Down. Right, you haven't improved my day, Roo. I've already fell out of bed this
morning. Put a bit of the $50 million in your phone account, KG. That'll make it a bit better.
No, that's not. Life's not all about money. Life is about.
No. I'm talking about using the money to create good things for other sports,
Raise money. They can raise money otherwise. You know,
right.
I'm dead set against. Yeah, cheapening the name of the Adelaide Oval.
We'll pass
Thanks
that
for
on.
Calling in, KG.
Have a good morning.
Have a good day.
Settle down.
My day's not very well now, but have a good day.
Have a Bex and lie down.
Bye.
See ya. Oh, he's passionate.
Oh, he's passionate. Right, old Cage.
He's good.
104.7 Triple M. The hard-hitting topics. The big issues.
Well, not really, but we are going deep inside the female psyche.
Ruined Dits Angels.
Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Ruined
Dits. Oh, Batesy's walked in, but he's still dressing us. So what are you doing there?
Just adjusting.
What sort of pants are they?
They're the comfiest pants ever.
God,
what are they? They look like curtains.
Actually, I had to fight my puppy off them this morning because she grabbed him and was just like,
"Your dog."
Boring. Yeah.
I'm bringing you to fight Peter off this morning.
Can I ask a quick question? Have you got buttonies on? No, I haven't got my buttonies on. Next week, I promise I'll wear them. I promise.
Yeah, if you missed it last week, Batesy and her mum have gone shopping for butt undies where it fills out your butt.
Makes you look like you've got a round butt.
Yeah.
Like those, you know, fake bra things.
Chicken fillets.
Righto. First, by the way, we got Mel the button pusher. Good morning, Mel.
G'day.
Alice the wag and Batesy. Now, Roo, what's your first topic this morning?
Well, you go first because we're going to take calls on mine.
Fair enough.
You've got a letter.
I have. I've got a letter, and thank you to Kevin for being so brave to
Where's Kevin from?
He's from Golden Grove.
Okay.
And this letter touched me a little bit, actually. Kevin lost his wife when his daughter was only 3 years of age.
Okay.
Right?
And that would have been tough.
Yeah, she's now 13. So Kevin's raised this girl on his own.
For 10 years.
Mm. And what he's saying is that she's now at the age where girly things are starting to happen. So
when do girly things start happening, girls? Just by the way.
Yeah, just on that.
Before 13.
Before 13?
Really? 11, 12.
Potentially.
They start.
Yeah, what, like boobs and stuff?
Oh, you get boobs. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
You start to feel uncomfortable.
Right. Mm. So he's sort of saying things like, yes, you know, period, if I can say that, as direct as that. But the other one is shopping for a first bra and things like that. Does he need to go and find a family friend or an auntie? Or is it okay for him to sit down with
his
daughter
a good question.
And talk about all of these things? And is the daughter going to be okay with it? And you know what? He says our relationship's unbelievable, but he's just feeling a little bit nervy and a little bit funny about it. Mel, the button pusher.
Well, they've obviously been together and solid and have a good relationship for a very long time. But, you know, that saying it takes a village to raise a child is even truer for Kevin in this tough instance. So he's probably done a great job already of laying the groundwork, but I reckon his daughter would appreciate finding an auntie.
Nana would
be too
old.
Or a really good friend. Nana's too old.
Probably.
You want a peer of dad, whether that's a great friend of his or an actual auntie or one of those surrogate aunties we all have, you know, where you call her auntie, but she's not really.
Yep.
I think, yeah, because then it's not just about whether anyone's embarrassed or not. It should be a nice experience in a way, partly, for the girl as well, a little bit of solidarity with an important woman in her life, and I hope she has one.
Very good, Mel. Alice the Wag?
I think he should just ask her and be like, look, I'm here. If you want me to help, then I'm here, but if you want to go with, like, a friend, then that's fine.
And what about, and I like that too, what about moving on in a couple of years' time where, say, relationships are involved too. And we hear that, you know, teenage girls can be a bit cruel and brutal on each other. Can you come, say, if it happened to you, Alice, when you were growing up, did you go home and talk to your dad? I mean, you've got a mum as well, but who did you talk to?
Probably mum mainly, but dad would probably just give advice like, oh, stuff him, you're better than that. He didn't really understand as much as mum. But, like, if dad said, do you want to go bra shopping? We'd probably self-combust of awkwardness and I would just die.
Yeah.
So I think I'd prefer to take, like, even a friend's mum. Like, if the mum's taking her friend, then maybe she could tag along.
Yep.
But I think he should just ask her. Like, maybe she might want her dad there because she loves him so much and that's comfort for her.
Yeah, sure. Batesy.
Well, see, I moved overseas when I was 13 and I was there for a few years with my dad. So it was just my dad and I. So he went through the whole period thing with me.
Yeah, right.
And he did the bra shopping, not the first bra, but he continued to do the bra shopping with me. So I was really lucky, but he was also thrown in head first.
So you've actually been through this. You didn't lose your mum, but you've been through this.
Yeah, and all the girl problems at school, I'd go home and tell my dad. I told my dad when I lost my virginity. Like, my dad was in it for all of it. So, poor guy.
If my dad's listening, I'm still a virgin.
Except you have broken a dick.
Don't bring that up again. Look, sorry, we're dealing with Kevin here. Kevin at Golden Grove, if you don't mind.
Sorry. This didn't quite make sense.
So, Batesy, you did all of these things with your own dad.
Yeah, I did. Poor guy. He was a legend. He was a legend.
Righto.
So, no.
What sort of bras did dad like?
Oh,
He just put his head down and gave me the credit card.
This is deteriorating.
Took me home, and then I lost my virginity, drove home, and Dad's like, where have you been? And I'm like, I lost my virginity. My dad's like, oh, Jesus Christ. And that was it.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Your poor dad.
And his name was... His name was Big. Stop. This is true. Stop. The first bloke basically told me this. This was in Africa, wasn't it?
In Africa.
And his name was Big.
Oh, no. Right, I think we need to move on.
Now, can I just say, please, to any of the Kevins out there, please don't be scared to write to us. I'll try and keep this segment together on an even keel.
Oh, no.
Sorry, Kev.
Bloody hell.
Hey, I'm about to go through what Kev's.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. That's right. Righto.
Mm. Oh, my daughter's boyfriend's name's not Big. All right. Topic that comes up.
He'll be
after,
called frightened, I reckon.
After the Melbourne Cup, you know, we're all out. Or well, not all of us. Well, most people were out having a few beers and having a punt and doing what they do. But midweek, you know, you had to call a timeout at some point, didn't you? And some people do ghosties. Some people say see to everyone and do the right thing and, you know, cop a bit of abuse and get dragged back for one or two more. Is it okay to do ghosties and how often do you do them, girls? Angels?
I don't go out anymore.
Come on, Mel.
Ruined my life.
Come on.
Up the top. Anyway, but when I did, I love them. I think they're great because you can't win an argument with an idiot and everyone who's drunk is an idiot. Yeah. And after a certain time of night or after a certain point in the session, nothing better is going to happen. Mm. Like, you know, after one, two or...
Is it un-Australian to do a ghostie?
I think it probably is, but I think it makes more sense.
Mm.
And they'll forgive you. And if you do it one or two times... then people know that, you know, you've got form for it and they're ready for it. They'll go, where's Mel? Ah, oh, she's gone.
There's probably times on special occasions you can't do a ghostie.
Oh, yeah. If it's an occasion, no, you have to do the right thing.
That's right.
But if it's just a free-for-all Melbourne Cup, get out of there when you want to and just leave. Yep.
Yep. Look after number one.
Yep.
Wag.
I did my first ghostie at Melbourne Cup.
Oh, well
really?
Congratulations. I know, and I feel very good about it. But I'm always, without doubt, the last person standing.
Right.
And it's a very bad trait because I just can't say no. And I was always just getting sucked in and sucked in. And at Melbourne Cup, I thought I was at that very pivotal point where you go, I either leave now or stick it in and have another 18 champagnes and stay out. So I thought I'll be responsible. And there was this one friend who just wouldn't let me go. So I had to do a ghostie.
Mm.
And it felt really good.
Do you feel good about yourself the next morning?
Yes, it was amazing. I was like a new woman.
What about you, Batesy?
I ghostie a lot more regularly than Alice.
You do.
But I did get caught ghosting from a wedding two weekends ago.
A wedding?
And it was
I don't know if that's acceptable.
Oh, it was so awkward because it was my first Italian wedding with Peter and we're with his dad and I was like, I'm done. There's like 300 people. We'll be able to get out and not be noticed. But there were candles on the table as like the presents. So I had two candles under my arm and I was walking out and then Peter's dad, Rocco, like found someone and got distracted and I got
Rocco.
Caught like a shag on a rock. And then the bride saw me holding two candles under my arm trying to leave early. And I was like, this is the first time I've met her. So I was just like, stolen an extra present and everything. It was Rocco's, but it was so awkward. And then I just like awkwardly like... just left.
But that's the greatest example, though. When there's 300 people, it's going to take you forever to say goodbye.
Forever.
That's why I reckon ghosties are good.
He has like 20 aunties.
Yeah.
It's just, it's crazy.
Yeah. All right.
They're probably fair enough.
Thanks, Angels.
Thanks.
Now, Rue, you wanted to take some calls on this,
right? Oh, we don't have to. No, we can.
Is it right to do a ghostie?
We've answered everything for you.
Mm. Yeah, I think we've answered everything. I think we'll do some more
snoring. Let's do some more snoring.
Righto, more snoring coming up next. Rue and Dits on Triple M.
Rue and Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Roo, interest rates stayed the same yesterday. They seem to do this every year on Melbourne Cup Day, Reserve Bank meets.
It felt like they went up dramatically because my wallet's empty.
I've got the same disease, don't worry about that. Hey, a man who we're going to see on Channel 7 next year with a brand new show is Mark Boris, and he joins us now. Mark, good morning.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Good. Hey, tell us, I've just read an article about home loans. Should we be fixing rates or, I mean, what do we read into the fact that for the 14th time in a row, rates have stayed the same?
Well, generally speaking, the only time you're going to fix rates is when the rates are at their lowest, and then there's likelihood of a rate increase.
Yep.
And no one ever knows there's going to be a rate increase. I don't think the Reserve Bank even knows that. But I reckon the guru of interest rates in this country is a guy called Bill Evans, and he's the Westpac economist, and he's been around a million years. But Bill always seems to get it right. And Bill's view on it, on that topic is that he doesn't believe interest rates will increase between here and November next year.
Wow,
so if Bill is correct, and he has been in the last, he's made the last three calls correct, in other words, over the last 3 or 4 years, if he is correct, then you'd be crazy to fix your rates right now. You're best off to fix your rates at the end of next year sometime.
All right, we'll hold on for a little bit longer. What about the stock market? Closed over 6,000 for the first time since the GFC, I think. Things are looking up a little bit.
Well, one of the reasons why the stock market is doing so well, and let's not call it the whole stock market, let's call it the stock market index, yes. Mm-hmm. But really what drives the stock market index is those big companies like the big banks, etc., all of whom are big dividend payers. And the reason why people are jumping into stock, those sorts of shares, and therefore driving the stock market up, is because you get a good interest rate return, whereas if you put your money in the bank, you get bugger all. So it's really one of those sort of arrangements. So if interest rates do start to rise and people start can get a better rate of return in the banks by putting the money in deposit, then the stock market will suffer a little bit. So what's driving the stock market right now is the dividends that the big guys are paying.
Well, when you say what's driving it, I mean, Roo and I here often debate about Donald Trump. You know, obviously he's very, very controversial, but gee, the stock market in the US has just been
going through all-time highs.
Yeah, it's an all-time high, and they seem to be in such a strong position. Has that been his influence, do you think?
Yeah, well, the Americans love a sniff, you know. Like, they get a sniff and they run with it a million miles an hour. They're a little less cynical than we are. And people invest in the stock market much more in America than they do in Australia. And there's just 360 million people. There's just a lot more money there splashed around the joint that has to find a place to live. So the stock market is, you know, there's not that many platforms where you can put money into. So, and Trump saying all the right things, talking about reducing income tax rates, et cetera. Let's see if he can get some of these things through Congress. And if he does, then the American stock market is going to keep flying.
Well, let's hope so. All right. Hey, Mark, yesterday I see where you announced a brand new show on Channel 7 next year as well.
That's right. We've got a new show on Channel 7 called The Mentor. It's going to come up in the first half of next year. We should start filming in January, I hope. It's a great show. It's a show whereby we go into businesses, go into the home, go into their business, actual business. We try and find out what's wrong with their business, because these are people who come to us and say, look, I've got a problem with the business, and there's a variety of problems. I try and solve the problems for them. Then I go back a month later and see how well they've done and whether or not those solutions I've given to them have they actually taken them on board and made it work.
Fantastic. All right, you can start with us too, all right? Hey, Mark, great for you to join us. And in fact, if you want to find out more about Mark and what he's all about, his podcast is The Mentor on Podcast One. Mark Boris, thanks for joining us.
See you guys. All the best.
Thanks, Mark.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Last night, Midnight Oil performed at the, I think it was the Maya Music Bowl. Anyway, there was an accident. The guitarist, Jim,
fell off the stage.
Took a tumble.
Yep.
And they are suggesting that the rest of the tour won't go ahead.
Wow. It must be important.
Now, I'm a bit nervous about taking this phone call because this is Kathy, who's the Wag's mum. And she was at the concert. She's our reporter on the spot.
All right.
This could turn you, I don't know about that. Anyway, Kathy, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, God.
An old rocker from way back.
All right. Now, good. Kathy, what happened last night?
I'd love to tell you I saw it, but I didn't.
Oh, you're doing a report and you didn't even see it.
But it had an enormous impact on the show, and it was at the end. It was at the end. It was the very last song.
Right.
So, look, it was a fantastic gig. The winner on the night was the Sydney Meyer Music Bowl. It took me back to my youth.
The Sydney Meyer Music Bowl, which happens to be in Melbourne.
Yes. And it's a wonderful venue that's most underused except for Carols by Candlelight.
Right.
Is this right? What are you saying? It's the Sydney
Meyer Music Bowl is in Melbourne.
Bulldust.
It is.
What?
No, it is. The Sydney Meyer Music Bowl is in Melbourne. And it's just inside the lining of the Tan in Melbourne.
Well, it's named after a bloke called Sydney.
Okay.
Sydney Meyer.
Playing tricks with
his name. Sydney Meyer.
Kathy, is it true that the guitarist fell off because Pete Garrett was out of control in one of his old dance moves and he couldn't quite keep up with it anymore and he bumped him off? Is that right?
Yeah. I think there was a conspiracy and he was pushed.
Right, fair
get
enough.
Off.
All right. Now, Kathy, thanks for joining. Now, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, does it? So we get you on, and your opening lines, I didn't even see it, but you're our report, righto.
Dad, do you want to know a bit more about the gig or not?
Yeah, give us a bit more.
Righto.
Because Peter Garrett came out wearing a dump Trump T-shirt.
Oh, did he?
Provocative.
Yeah. Provocative, and I love politics just as much as the next person.
Yeah.
But Peter Garrett does like it a little bit more, and it was a very politically pointed performance.
Mm-hmm.
The amazing thing was how many middle-aged men mm-hmm. that were aided by plenty of refreshments mm-hmm. knew all the lyrics to every song mm-hmm. and sang along incredibly loudly the whole evening.
Well, ironically, he's got a short memory. And I'll tell you why,
sadly,
because he was in politics for a while and achieved absolutely 3/5 of stuff all.
Oh, no, you're incorrect there. What about the pink bat?
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, he's got a short memory.
What did you give it out of 10, Kathy?
I gave it an 8 out of 10. It was really terrific. He was a performer. I don't know. He's drinking from the fountain of eternal youth and fitness, let me tell you. He's a very fit man. And I think he's about 62, 64.
Right.
But did he have long pants on?
He did have long pants.
Did he have socks on underneath his long pants, Kathy?
Of course not. He's in Melbourne.
at the Sydney Mime Music Hall.
He came out looking like a terrorist, dressed in black and with a black hoodie on, just seeing a tiny little bit of his face.
Okay.
All right. And then stripped it off to reveal Trump.
Thanks for that report, Kathy. There you go. That is the
look
Wags
Mum.
Yeah. Oh, we're looking after her.
Right.
Don't worry.
God, they're taking over the show,
that
family.
Yeah, that's what happens when you have a producer.
Get Ruin Dits for Breakfast. Weekdays from 6 or subscribe to Ruin Dits for Breakfast Catch-Up at triplem.com.au.